would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. I get high with a little help from my friends.
The Edmonton Oilers, the Stanley Cup champions of 1985. Gretzky has got it up high. Boy, look at the mob scene down on the ice surface. Wayne Gretzky has been presented by the president of the National Hockey League, John Ziegler, with the Stanley Cup.
I feel proud and privileged as an organization that the fans stepped up and voted for this team of the Edmonton Oilers. It's hard to win a Stanley Cup, and it's hard to get your name on the Stanley Cup, but there's no better feeling and there's no greater reward than when the commissioner presents you the Stanley Cup as a captain and as a team. It's one of the greatest traditions in all the sport.
Welcome back. Hope you're enjoying a beautiful day on Melnick in the Afternoon, TSN 690. A couple days ago in Nashville, the 84-85 Oilers voted by fans who logged on to NHL.com, voted the greatest team in NHL history, the 85 Edmonton Oilers. A lot of discussion since then. The second best team of all time, the 91-92 Penguins. Got to go all the way down to third place to get the 76-77 Montreal Canadiens. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Geller. We have Sean Sobers helping us out. Talk about this and the Stanley Cup final, his experience, I'm sure, which is similar to just about everybody's hanging out in Nashville for a few days. From NHL.com, on site in Pittsburgh. Dave Stubbs, how are you?
I'm well, Mitch. Wrong number one team, by the way.
What's the number one team? 84-85 Oilers. No?
76-77 Canadians.
I see. Yeah, see. And if it was up to you, if you could like go in and hack them like the Russians, if you could have hacked this vote, that would be the number one team.
Well, look, you have fans voting and you can put a reality TV host in the White House, right? I mean, that's the nature of a fan vote. Okay, and look, I had a discussion actually with Scotty Bowman this morning. Scotty sent me a note and he said, so I guess the 76-77 Canadians would have had to lose no games to be number one or to crack the top two, right? And listen, 68 and 12, what, nine Hall of Famers. You look at that team up and down, backwards, inside out. And look, the thing about a fan vote, and I think everybody understands this, is this is a very subjective exercise, right? It's a bit of a beauty contest. You get some fans will sit in their basement until mom calls them up for supper and pound away and keep logging in and keep voting for their team. And look, that's fine too. You do what you do. But it seems to me that in something like this, you can't obviously compare teams. You can't take teams from the 1950s and compare them to teams in the 1980s. It's impossible. It doesn't happen. So, you know, it's I don't want to say it's a flawed process, but what it does is it engages fans, and it obviously stimulates a great deal of conversation, and I think that's a wonderful part of an exercise like this. But if I'm looking at the stats and, you know, take me out of Montreal, my hometown, I'm still going to say it's the 1976-77 Canadiens because I don't think there was a better hockey team ever than that team.
There he is, Dave Stubbs. That's it. Goodbye, Dave. Nice talking to you. The final word on the voting. By how long did this voting go on for? Was it all year?
No, I think it was. It probably was a couple months, to be honest. I don't know. And it seems to me that even the 76-77 Canadians weren't even on the radar for a while. I think when this all started, I think the four Penguin Stanley Cup champions were running 1, 2, 3, 4. But then ultimately all this stuff balances out. One of the things here too, Mitch, and you'll understand this, is that, you know, the fans who were voting for this would not have seen the 1960 Montreal Canadiens play, right? That's the team that Rocket Richard played on. That was his final year. You have Jean Beliveau on that team. You have Hall of Famers up and down again. They would not have seen some of the Detroit Red Wings teams in the 1950s. I mean, there were some tremendous hockey teams back then. I talked to Terry O'Reilly today for a story I'm doing. Terry O'Reilly turned 66 today. And I didn't dare broach the subject with him that the 1970 or 1972 Bruins are not among the top 10. I mean, it shocked me that the 19, you could flip a coin for the 70 or the 72 Bruins. I would have said the 70 Bruins. I mean, okay, take Bobby Orr's overtime high-flying goal out of the equation, and that was a terrific hockey club. So, you know, the thing is, fans have their favorites. They will vote in a fashion sometimes based on their hometown, for their favorite players, because they've seen these guys. But, you know, as I say, you look, what's the oldest team on this list? You go down here, the 76, 77 Canadians would be the oldest team on this list, right? So you're talking, what, 40 years?
Nobody from the 60s. The 60s. So, I mean, the five in a row, like if it was before the internet, it didn't happen. Almost.
Yeah, that's true. Well, listen, for a lot of Montreal Canadiens fans, I write history of the league and of the team, as you know. For a lot of Habs fans, I mean, the history of this team begins with Saku Koivu. So, you know, it is what it is, as the player is going to tell you. They vote, and it's not an objective thing. It is very highly unscientific. You cannot rank teams against each other spanning decades and so on. But it did certainly stir a lot of conversation. It has stirred a great deal of debate, and that's okay too. And Gretzky, I mean, sat a couple days ago in Nashville and spoke to this, and he was really good, as Wayne always is. He said, look, we feel honored to be here, but there are some tremendous hockey teams, and you're privileged that fans have put you in this place at the top of the pyramid. But he said, look, there's some tremendous, tremendous hockey teams. You go down here, and it takes you to number 7 to get to a New York Islanders team, and those guys won 4 cups in a row. So, you know, there were a couple other Red Wings teams that could have been on there. No Bruins, no Leafs teams. I mean, there were some great Leafs teams in the 1940s and into the 1950s. But again, they're not going to register in a vote like this. So, hey,
yeah, see,
that's fine.
I would have been. It does get people talking. That's what we're doing right now, and we'll get off it in just a couple of minutes. But if I had been aware, I honestly was not aware that this was going on, I would have been one of those guys, maybe not in the basement, but I would have voted over and over and over and over and over again for the 50s and 60s Habs, you know, because the team won 5 in a row. The team won 5 cups in a row. And it's like people don't understand. Like Elmer Locke, right? You got to know Elmer Locke so well. When Elmer Locke retired, people don't know that he was the leading scorer of all time. When he retired, Rocket Richard was the leading scorer of all time, not just the goal scorer of all time. It's people should know this stuff.
Well, one of the fun things that we've done this year is we had, of course, the top 100 players of all time, and there was a blue ribbon panel which sat and debated the merits of players. They came together with a list of 100 players. It could have been 200 players. There was a great discussion and debate about some of the people who were not on that list, who obviously could have been there. But I had discussion with a number of people around the league, and they said, look, you make a good point, but if we add this person, who do we take off? And that list of 100, there was no one on there to take off. So, you know, again, this, it's a subjective thing. It gets people talking. I would have loved to have seen Pierre Pellot on the that top 100 list. I mean, I don't know how a guy like that is not on there. But again, it's if Pierre Pellot is on, is there another guy you take off? So, you know, greatest lists are always a mug's game. You can never say that, you know, this is the definitive list, because everyone has their own ideas and they have their own favorites, and they will weigh merits of people against one another. So it's, again, it's a great, for the centennial of the NHL this year, it's a fun endeavor to be able to get in and reminisce about some of these teams and talk about some of these guys and some of these great hockey teams. But it's not a scientific thing, and fans shouldn't get upset because a team is ranked number 3 or number 6 or not on that list at all.
And over 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 and over.
With Dave Stubbs on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690, along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Rod?
Hey, Dave. Because we know a lot of your work at NHL.com is with a scene with a historical scope or with a historical in mind, and I'm wondering, based on the players that you've worked with here in Montreal and elsewhere, do the players now have a greater appreciation for what preceded them, or are we going in the wrong direction?
Rod, I think that we're starting to see more of it this year, just because there is so much that is being done around the centennial, and a lot of today's players are being exposed to it. I've always kind of believed that there are some guys in Montreal who played on the Canadiens who get it, right? They understand what it means to sit in the Canadiens' dressing room and to look around and to see the faces and the names of the legends in that room. Saku Koivu once told me that no matter where he went in that room, the eyes of Rocket Richard followed him. He said, I could go down to one far end or I could go to the other end, and Rocket was always looking at me. He knew. That said, there was a guy who played on the Montreal Canadiens, no longer there, obviously, was there long ago. I walked into the dressing room with Dickie Moore, and this player kind of muttered half under his breath, oh, here comes the old man to ride on our coattails again. And Dickie just kept walking while I stopped and confronted this player, and I said, with all due respect, I mean, like, you're not fit to hold this man's athletic supporter. I mean, why don't you go home and get on the internet and have a look at maybe what Dickie Moore has done? And then, you know, if you still feel the same way, I feel sorry for you. But, I mean, just, you know, your ignorance is shocking.
Tell us who it was.
So, I can't. It was a Russian player. I'll give you that much. And I'm not going to throw the guy under the bus. I mean, you know, he was an idiot to say that. And maybe he just didn't know. So there were some guys but some guys really do understand. They get it. I mean, they like playing in Montreal because of the history, because of the tradition. And that's a bit of a two-edged, you know, sword, too, because as you recall, in 2009, with all that the Canadiens did on their centennial, as exciting and exhilarating and as these beautiful sepia memories, it was gorgeous, I mean, what was done. But what it also tended to do was remind fans of how bad, I mean, the product had become in a lot of ways. And it just reminded people that it's been a lot of years, and next year is a quarter century since the Montreal Canadiens have won the Stanley Cup. The Cup is a rumor to a full generation of Habs fans now. So it's a different league, parity, salary cap. I mean, that's 56 to 60 dynasty. Mitch, there were 12 guys who played on all five of those teams with the same coach and the same general manager.
Yep.
You'll never see that today. I believe there were 15 guys who played on all four of the Canadiens' 76, 7, 8, and 9 Stanley Cup champions. Well, with salary cap and with trades and with free agency, all this now, the parity of the league, it's impossible to keep together a team like that. So you get the Chicago Blackhawks, who won 3 in 6 years. They're as close to a modern-day dynasty as we've seen.
That's a kick to the gut, huh, Hab fans? It's a rumor. The Canadiens winning the Cup is just a rumor to most of you.
Nyt kääntyy Pittsburgh nopea ja jälleen tulee Crosby läpi ajoon rinnekköstä. Kiekko vielä perissä. Ei mene. Pekka Rinne. Aivan älytön pysäytys rinteeltä. Aivan älytön pysäytys rinteeltä.
Some of the sound from Nashville in American and Finnish. Dave, what was it like to be in the middle of that for the first time, being part of a Stanley Cup final in Nashville?
I can't even begin to describe it, Mitch. You could basically put padded walls around the entire city of Nashville, and the CMT Fan Festival is this weekend. It's sort of running all week. So can you imagine if the Nashville Predators go home within one win of the Stanley Cup with virtually the entire world of country music partying and having concerts and everything all around them? That city's going to spontaneously combust. I don't, the fans there, I mean, have obviously embraced this team, but that building is louder than any building I've ever been in my life. And I tweeted that the other night. Well, some Montreal Canadiens fans went totally crazy on me. They said, well, the Habs haven't been at a final. Let's go back to the Forum, whatever. But Nashville fans are absolutely deafening. Between periods, they go out on the concourse, and they're walking up to beer vendors screaming in their faces, I need a beer! I mean, that's the volume.
Between periods?
To imagine it.
Between they're periods, allowed out between periods? We can't even get out between periods. We can't come back in if we go out.
I don't even know why they bother putting seats in the lower bowl, because no one's sitting. I mean, everybody stands the entire time. I think they maybe sit around in some of the corners and behind the net, but I mean between the hash marks, between the face-off circles, nobody sits down. The volume in that place during a TV timeout, which fans don't get to see, it reaches this crescendo and it just sits there. So while it's really, really loud as the play ebbs and flows, during the TV timeouts, they just scream at the top of their lungs, and you cannot hear yourself think. The two buildings that I've ever worked in my entire life that I've needed noise-canceling headphones, one was the Bell Center during the playoffs when the Habs were in the conference final against the Rangers a couple years ago, and Nashville here. It's ridiculous. So we're going to have to go back for Game 6, and I cannot even imagine what it's going to be like. I mean, with Predators fans either trying to pull their team back into this or knowing that the Stanley Cup is in the building.
So here's a question for you, and you really don't know the answer to it, but you can take a guess. How much louder would it be in the Bell Center if we ever had a Stanley Cup final in there?
Well, they'd shake the building off its foundation, because Habs fans, I mean, by their very nature, they're a loud group, and when they really feel motivated to cheer, that's what you get. And I've spoken with a couple of players the last few days, and Subban was talking to this the other night. He was saying that fans know when something is at stake. He said they've been great the whole season, but you know, he kind of threw out at the beginning, maybe it would have been, it almost sounded like just a bit of a taunt at Montreal a couple of weeks back. I think he said, this is the loudest building I've ever played in. And I kind of looked and said, well, that's PK just kind of putting the stick in the spokes of the Montreal Canadiens. But I can see where he's coming from. I can't even imagine what it would be like down on the ice, because there's just this resonance. It just echoes, and it booms off the walls and comes back down. And I have a photographer friend who works basically this small little pit almost beside one of the benches. And he said the sound just kind of falls down and crushes him in there. And for the first time in his life, he's wearing earplugs. He says you literally cannot hear yourself think. So I hope the TV and radio are conveying a bit of that, because it's a magical environment. And Terry O'Reilly told me he hopes that the Predators win. He said, you know, a market like that, he said, with those fans, with a young team, and as engaged as everybody is in that community, he'd love to see them win it. So,
Dave Stubbs on site in Pittsburgh. What are you doing tonight? You going to U2 also?
I could, but I've got actually about three different stories that are all on the go at once. A bunch of us from .com, we can get our hands on tickets. We're playing at Heinz Field, right?
So that's right.
That's a thought. I mean, if I can get my work done early enough here, but I heard your little promo at the beginning of the list about Gordie Howe, and amazing. I mean, it's been a year. Saturday is a year since Gordie passed. I was in Pittsburgh after game 5 last year, back in this game to San Jose, when I got the call telling me that Mr. Hockey was gone. So I just called my boss and said I won't be on the plane, and I basically spent that entire day in my hotel room in Pittsburgh just working the phones, talking to legends. And I came back to Montreal and then went down to Detroit for the visitation and the funeral. But it's amazing how time has flown. A year has already gone by. So
all right, so Dave's actually 40, working.
40 years.
Dave's actually working tonight.
Yeah,
he's a member of the working media, is actually working tonight in Nashville, in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
There are a bunch of who are actually working very hard. And everyone will tell you this, as a series like this kind of moves along, and you well know, Mitch, I mean, there actually becomes less and less to report, because you have turned over every rock and no one is saying anything new. And no one is going to say anything to try to provoke the other guy. This whole mouthwash thing with PK, I mean, got so absurd the other night, where he was saying, well, I'm on a high-protein diet, and I think that makes your breath a little foul, so maybe people are just going to have to suck it up and live with that. Well, you know, there was no one has proven anything that PK actually, you know, got into this with Crosby on the ice. About foul breath. I mean, I think these two guys are both mic'd, and it was never said. So PK kind of threw it out to Pierre Maguire. Maybe Pierre will speak to this today. But, he just kind of threw it out there, and then it's become a story unto itself. So for the sake of PK stirring the pot and doing what he does, and he's doing it magnificently, I try to imagine what it would be like if he wins the Stanley Cup and brings it home and brings it to the atrium of the Montreal Children's Hospital and makes a magical day for a whole lot of very, very worthwhile kids. It would be a tremendous event for sure. So we'll see. It's a best of three. And at this point now, as PK himself said after game 4, the first 4 games are a wash. He said now it's right down to it. So we'll see whether the Penguins can come back. They were outscored 9-2 in games 3 and 4, and they're going to have to be on the mark tomorrow night for sure.
Thanks for taking time out for us this afternoon, Dave. Treat talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Mitch. Anytime at all. Yeah.
Shopping for